Very good. Thank you. Very good morning, everyone. Welcome to the service of Holy Communion. And may the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We pray together this opening collect. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. We read from Holy Scripture, from the book of Revelation. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honour and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. And from Psalm 100, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. So let us lead us, Heavenly Father, lead us. Our first hymn. As we remain standing, let us say together this statement of our belief. What do you believe? We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Our loving God commands us to love like him. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it, love your neighbour as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy on us and write your law in our hearts by your Holy Spirit. And we confess that we have failed to live up to God's standards. Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all people, we acknowledge our many sins which we have committed by thought, word and deed against your divine majesty, provoking most justly your wrath and indignation against us. We earnestly repent and are truly sorry for our sins. The remembrance of them grieves us. The burden of them is intolerable. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. For your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that from now on we serve and please you in newness of life, to the honour and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of his great mercy has promised forgiveness of sins to all those who turn to him with true faith and repentance, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
You that truly and earnestly repent of your sins, and are in love and harmony with your neighbours, and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God, and walking from now on in his holy ways, draw near with faith, and take this holy sacrament to comfort you. To all that truly turn to him, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." The Apostle Paul said, "This is a true saying and worthy of all to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." The Apostle John said, "If any person sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation or perfect offering for our sins." Because of that, the Bible says, we can have peace with God, and therefore we can say, we are the body of Christ, his Spirit is with us. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
And you might like to share that peace with each other. God's peace be with you. And so we continue our service in thanksgiving. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right to do so.
It is very good, right, and our bounden duty that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty Everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we praise and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Glory be to you, O Lord Most High. The prayer of humble access. We do not presume to come to this your table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your many and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, in your tender mercy, you gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death on the cross for our redemption. He made there a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, and he instituted and commands us to continue a perpetual memory of his precious death until he comes again. Hear us, merciful Father, and grant that we, receiving this bread and wine, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood. For on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Amen. All who love Jesus may join us at the Lord's table. The small cups contain grape juice and wine. We can stand or kneel at the communion table, and we encourage families to come together.
Let us pray. Father, we who believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and have received these pledges of his love, thank you, because you graciously feed us with the spiritual food of his body and blood. By this, you assure us of your love and forgiveness, and that we and all your faithful people are true members of his body and of each other in him. Remember your church, which you have purchased by his blood, and gather it in holiness into the kingdom you have prepared for it. Make us faithful witnesses of the Lord Jesus, and his resurrection, that at his coming we may go out with great joy to meet him and be found worthy to worship you with all your saints forever. Amen. Paul will now lead us in prayer.
The collect for the second Sunday in Lent. Let us pray. Almighty Father, whose Son Jesus Christ was revealed in majesty before he suffered death upon the cross. Give us faith to receive his glory, that we may be strengthened to suffer with him and be changed into his likeness, from glory to glory, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
A prayer for the spread of the gospel. We praise you, Lord of all, for the gifts of Christ, our ascended King, for apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. Hear our prayer for all who do not know your love and have not heard the gospel of our Saviour Jesus Christ. Send out your light and truth through the messengers of your word. Help us to support them by our prayers and offerings, and hasten the coming of your kingdom through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
A prayer that's all too common these days, a prayer in time of drought, flood, bushfire, or plague. All things look to you, O Lord, to give them their food in due season. Look in mercy on your people and hear our prayer for those whose lives and livelihood are threatened by drought, flood, fire, or plague. In your mercy, save both man and beast. Guide and bless the labours of your people, that we may enjoy the fruits of the earth and give you thanks with grateful hearts. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
A prayer for God's guidance. Almighty Lord and everlasting God, we pray that you will direct, sanctify and govern our hearts and bodies in the ways of your laws and the works of your commandments, that through your mighty protection, here and ever, we may be kept safe in body and soul, to give glory in your holy name, through our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Prayer for unity. God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our only Saviour, the Prince of Peace, give us grace to seriously lay to heart the great dangers we are in by our unhappy divisions. Take away all hatred and prejudice, and that whatever else may hinder us from godly union and concord, that, as there is but one body and one spirit and one hope of our calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father for us all, so we may be all of one heart and of one mind, united in one holy bond of truth and peace, of faith and charity, and may with one mind and one mouth glorify you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Prayer for peace. God of the nations, whose kingdom rules over all, have mercy on our broken and divided world. Shed abroad your peace in the hearts of all men, and banish from them the spirit that makes for war, that all races and people may learn to live as members of one family and in obedience to your laws. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And we'll finish by saying the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Right, today's Bible readings commence with Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 to 12, and 17 and 18, which is on page 10 of your pew Bible. Genesis 15, 1 to 12, and then skip to 17 and 18. After all these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I'm your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, you've given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, this man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. he brought him outside and said, "Look toward heaven and count the stars, if you're able to count them." Then he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as a righteousness. Then he said to him, "I'm the Lord who have brought you from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land and to possess." But he said, "O Lord God, how am I to know I shall possess it?" He said to him, "Bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." He brought him all of these and cut them in two, laying each half over the other. But he did not cut the birds in two. And when the birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. As the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram, and a deep and terrifying darkness descended upon him. And verse 17, when the sun had gone down and it was dark, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On that day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, "To your descendants I give you this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates." The second reading is Psalm 27. It's on page 437 of your pew Bible. Psalm 27, a psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I asked of the Lord that I will seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. Now my head is lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. Come, my heart says, seek his face. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger, you who have been my help. Do not cast me off. Do not forsake me, O God of my salvation. If my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Do not give me up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they are breathing out violence. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. The third reading is from Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 to 9, which is all of chapter 3. It's on page 954 in the Pew Bible. And it's called Breaking with the Past. And this is a letter of Paul, so it's a bit complicated. Finally, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is not troublesome to me, and for you it is a safeguard. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of those who mutilate the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, who worship in the Spirit of God and boast in Jesus Christ, and have no confidence in the flesh, even though I too have reason for confidence in the flesh. If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew, born of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet, whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as a loss because of the unsurpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. The final reading is John 21, verses 15 to 19, which is page 884 in the Pew Bible. So, John 21, 15 to 19, entitled Jesus and Peter. When they'd finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." Then he said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Peter, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you'll stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. And after this he said to him, "Follow me." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Morning, everyone. There is no hiding from the truth that Christians are expected to forgive. We remind ourselves of that truth every time we say the Lord's Prayer, which we just did. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. It is much more than a recommendation. It is a command. We must forgive. Remember Colossians 3:13 that we heard last week. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. That doesn't mean I have to enjoy the process, does it? Well, maybe it does. I mean, if God loves a cheerful giver, he might also love a cheerful forgiver. Oh, that's bad, isn't it? Forgiveness is compulsory for the Christian, and that's not easy. So you wouldn't be the first believer to ask this question: how often do I need to forgive? In Matthew 18, verse 21, Peter came to Jesus and said, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" And Jesus said to him, "No, Peter, not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. Some versions have 70 times seven, which mathematically is taking two perfect numbers of 7 and 10 in Jewish thought, and then multiplying that by another 7, which is perfect, means infinite whichever way you go. If you want the history, the 70 times 7 bit is the Greek translation of the Hebrew, and the original that most translations have gone back to is the 77, all of which still means infinite. So, wow, infinite. Don't ever stop forgiving. That's a very hard thing to hear, isn't it? And we might want to ask, because of that, "Gee, God, this is really hard. Does God have any idea how hard it is to forgive people who have hurt you?" Well, not only does God know, but Jesus sets an example of forgiveness for us to follow. And as we examine that example this morning, let's pray that God will empower us to follow it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please open our minds to your truth, our hearts to your love, and our lives to the inspiration and motivation of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this is the second week in our series, Miracle of Mercy, which we're doing over Lent. And this week we look at the first mark of mercy, and that was, I forgive those who have fallen. I forgive. Last week we looked at the definition of mercy that had two parts: A, withholding from people what they do deserve, and B, giving to people what they don't deserve. As we look at the example of Jesus this morning, we will find that he includes both of these elements of mercy in his act of forgiving. So let's take a closer look at the way Jesus forgives Peter's threefold denial. We remember the story from Good Friday, where after the arrest of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter follows from a distance and finds himself standing in a courtyard, warming himself by a fire, just outside the room where Jesus is being interrogated. Perhaps he was waiting for an opportunity to rescue Jesus. We don't really know for sure what was in his mind at that point. But as he waited, his identity was questioned. Now, all the Gospels record this event, but I want to read it from Luke's Gospel because of one significant phrase that he includes. So from Luke 22, verse 54, "Then they seized Jesus and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. But Peter was following at a distance. When they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him in the firelight, stared at him and said, 'This man also was with him.' But he denied it, saying, 'Woman, I do not know him.' A little later, someone else, on seeing him, said, 'You also are one of them.' But Peter said, 'Man, I am not.' Then about an hour later, still another kept insisting, 'Surely this man was with him, for he is a Galilean.' But Peter said, 'Man, I do not know what you are talking about.' At that moment, while he was still speaking, the cock crowed." And here is the significant phrase that Luke includes. In verse 61, "The Lord turned and looked at Peter." If we could freeze the video at that point, we could see the exact moment when the heart of Jesus was broken and the soul of Peter was crushed. What made this situation even worse was that Jesus had warned Peter that this would happen. As Luke goes on to record, "Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord and how he had said to him, 'Before the cock crows today, you will deny me three times.' And he went out and wept bitterly." Peter later watched from a distance again as his Lord and Master was crucified. Any hope of seeking forgiveness from Jesus also died that day for Peter. But there was another prophecy that Jesus made. "After 3 days, I will rise." We turn to our reading from John 21, when Peter and some other disciples had been fishing all night and caught nothing, a bit embarrassing for a professional fisherman, when a stranger on the beach directs them to an enormous catch of fish, which they get. Then Peter perceives that this is Jesus. So Peter dives into the water, swims to the beach ahead of the others to spend some time alone with Jesus. And we're not told what transpired during that conversation, but we can imagine that repentance and forgiveness might have been on Peter's mind. What we do find is that after breakfast on the beach, Peter's time for private confession now becomes a time for public commitment. When Jesus asked Peter 3 times in front of the other disciples, "Do you love me?" Significant that it's 3 times. With each positive reply, Peter is given a permanent responsibility. "Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep." We can assume that forgiveness has occurred. An act of mercy has occurred. Jesus withheld the punishment that Peter did deserve and gave him what he did not deserve, full leadership of and responsibility for the growing church. It was actually more of a reinstatement than a promotion. This is an example of true mercy, of true love in action. But we must never gloss over the circumstances under which this mercy was given. We don't just know the story and move on. Think about the impact of it and how it affects our own way of forgiving others. It's often true, they say, the people we hurt the most are the people that are closest to us, which means it is likely that we have been hurt the most by our closest family or friends. Look at the relationship between Peter and Jesus. Peter was always in that group of three disciples that Jesus took with him on special occasions. It was always Peter, James and John, Peter, James and John. Now Peter was not known as the disciple whom Jesus loved, that title went to John, but Jesus did make Peter the leader of the group. Indeed, Jesus made Peter the foundation of the church itself. Back in Matthew 16:18, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." To fully understand the pain of Peter's denial of Jesus, we need to fully appreciate the passion of Jesus' devotion to Peter. After the Last Supper, Jesus said these words to Peter in Luke 22:31, "Simon, Simon, listen. Satan has demanded to sift all of you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your own faith may not fail. And you, once you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." And he said to him, Peter said to him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death." And Jesus said, "I tell you, Peter, the cock will not crow this day until you have denied three times that you even know me." Well, as we heard, Peter did three times deny that he knew Jesus. The rooster did crow. The Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered, and Jesus forgave. Which do you think hurt more, the betrayal by Judas or the denial by Peter? Mercy bears a greater burden whenever it involves a greater personal cost. It must have been hard for Jesus to forgive those who were crucifying him. But as he said in the prayer to his Father, they know not what they do. How much harder must it have been for Jesus to forgive Peter, who knew what he was doing because Jesus had already warned him about doing it? In his prayer for Peter, Jesus expressed his willingness to forgive Peter before it even happened. The first mark of mercy is that willingness to forgive the fallen. And yet again, Jesus sets an example for us to follow in the way that he forgave Peter. I wonder if Peter ever reflected on his earlier question to Jesus about how often he ought to forgive his brother. I mean, Peter did say and do some dumb things during the 3 years that he followed Jesus, and once Jesus even had to rebuke Peter. I wonder if Peter ever felt that he'd used up his seven chances for forgiveness. How glad he must have been to realise that Jesus was actually serious about the 77 times or the infinite times that we need to forgive others. Meaning, yeah, it's limitless, there's no restriction. It's wonderful, isn't it, that John did not write, "When we confess our sins, God may forgive us." John wrote, "When we confess our sins, God will forgive us." When we confess our sins, God will forgive us and cleanse us. He will withhold the punishment we do deserve and give us the fresh start that we don't deserve. Now, I felt it was important to look at this example of Jesus from John 21, even though it was not the recommended reading for the passage. The passage originally set down for this first mark of mercy was Matthew 18. From verse 23, and that's the passage where Jesus tells his parable of the unforgiving servant. In some translations, that's called the parable of the unmerciful servant. The man in this story had an outstanding debt, and his debt was truly outstanding. It was basically millions of dollars for us. And Jesus begins by saying that this is a description of the kingdom of heaven. In other words, this is how God deals with us and the great debt that we owe to him, which is forgiven. But it's also about how we are to extend mercy to each other. For when we receive mercy from God, we are expected to extend mercy to others. When we receive forgiveness, we are expected to extend forgiveness. This parable comes immediately after Peter's question about how often should I forgive? Jesus has just said that there is no limit to the number of times we are to forgive, and then he immediately tells a parable which says there is no limit to the size of the issue that requires our forgiveness, whether it's big or small. The king in the parable gives up his right to claim compensation. He gives up his right to demand justice. As the king, he's under no compulsion to do this. He simply takes pity on the man who owes the debt. This is an act of mercy. Now, how can I say that? Well, simply because at the end of the parable, the king says to the unforgiving servant, "Should you not have shown mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?" Forgiving the debt is an act of mercy. In the parable, the unforgiving servant does not show mercy on others. He throttles another fellow servant to get a couple of coins out of him. Does the king show pity or have mercy on him for this neglect of duty? No. The king punishes the unforgiving servant for failing to show mercy to others. Sounds a bit rough. But after teaching his disciples the Lord's Prayer, Jesus had this to say in Matthew 6 from verse 14. "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And Jesus rams home that same point in this parable, which is in response to Peter's question about God's requirement for him to always forgive his brother. He says in Matthew 18, in the parable, "So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart." Now, the question people often want to ask at this point is, does this only apply to fellow Christians, brothers and sisters in the church? I had an extended section in my sermon, which you'll be pleased to hear, I cut out this morning. And simply these words, the short answer is no. While this is certainly the way we must relate to each other within the church, the fact remains that when Peter asked the question, the church did not exist. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. Forgiveness is available to everyone. We hear it again and again through the scriptures. We are to love as God loves, and God loves the whole world. God's love is steadfast. It doesn't run hot and cold. We can't turn forgiveness on and off like a tap. In the same way Paul says that love must be sincere or genuine, Jesus says forgiveness must be sincere or genuine. It must be from the heart. So we are to love as God loves. We are to love as Christ loves. And Jesus forgave both Peter and the Romans who were nailing him to the cross. For God shows no favoritism. God tells us to love our neighbours, the ones we know and love, perhaps, and he also tells us to love our enemies. And there's not much left after that. So while Matthew 18 describes how we are to relate to each other as brothers and sisters in the church, it does not limit our forgiveness only to those who are members of the church. Forgiveness is the foundation of our faith. It's what we receive from God and what we are meant to give to others. How we follow Jesus is actually reflected in how we forgive others. Everyone will know that we are disciples of Jesus by the way we love one another. We know that. We say it all the time. It's a nice, fuzzy feeling. But mercy is love in action. Forgiveness is the first mark of mercy. So we can say, everyone will know that we are his disciples, or disciples of Jesus, by the way we forgive one another. Now, forgiveness is always full and free. In the parable of the unforgiving servant, we notice that the king does not offer a reduced debt, some kind of deal. He offers a cancelled debt. The reason why God can cancel our debt is because it's been paid in full. When Jesus pays the price for our sin, there is nothing left for us to pay. There is no deal entered into. When we forgive others, it should also be full and free, no strings attached. We forgive because we've been forgiven, and we forgive as we've been forgiven. That's the wording from Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, not just because you've been forgiven, but forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Have you ever wondered why the unforgiving servant was so unforgiving? We're not really told, but here's a guess. Is it possible that the unforgiving servant couldn't forgive others because he still couldn't believe that he himself had really been forgiven? Was he still somehow desperately trying to accumulate the funds he needed to pay off his own debt? Is the reason we find it hard to forgive others because we find it hard to believe that God has forgiven us? If we're unable to receive God's forgiveness, we'll struggle to forgive others. Steve Pym has been working on a book about forgiveness for years. There is no way I could ever cover such a vast topic in only 20 minutes. I know you will have more questions than I can answer this morning, but let me share with you some of the nuggets that I found that wouldn't fit into any outline. These are those famous one-liners that Rick Warren is famous for. Here's a couple of them. We know that people hurt people, but in reality, it's hurt people who hurt people. You can't control the hurt that happens to you, but you can control how long you hurt. Because when you forgive, you set that free. Forgiveness is instant, but trust must be rebuilt over time. Forgiveness must happen, even though trust may never be regained. When we refuse to forgive, we give control of our lives to the one who has wronged us. We make ourselves puppets on a string when we say, "You are making me angry." When we fail to forgive, we suffer torture in a prison of our own making. When we learn how to forgive, we learn how to walk in true freedom. Mercy is God's love in action, and forgiveness is the first mark of mercy. Our goal as Christians is to become more like our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Our goal as Christians is to move from saying, "I must forgive," to "I want to forgive." Only then can we be people who are truly merciful as our Father is merciful. Let us pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, for all the books that could be written on the topic of forgiveness, none could surpass the example of Jesus. It is our ongoing prayer that you would help us not only to experience your mercy through your loving forgiveness, but to express your mercy to others in the way that we forgive them as we have been forgiven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, not much in the notice area today. Just to remind you that if you have comments, questions or prayer points to give to us, these very nicely produced Connect cards are in the seats in front of you with pens, and you can pass them to us at the end of the service. Just a reminder, quick run through the birthdays. As far as I know, it is Flo was on the 6th, Vernon on the 10th, gave him a card when I went to see them. Bev's was on the 11th, Haley is today, happy birthday Haley, and Robin Crawford on the 19th. That's all I have, unless there are others that need to tell me and I've forgotten. And next Sunday, Julie's coming to give us her final farewell tour, and that'll be great. So be here for that. Is there any other announcements people have that they want to give? Nope. Okay, then. I might give the blessing.
Please.
May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ.
Amen.
We got morning tea, I think. That's fantastic. Join us for continuing fellowship.